Okay, so our next speaker is Guillaume. I'm sure I'm doing terrible with your name. Letourneau, and he's at University of Laval in Canada. Thank you.
Okay, hello. My name is Guillaume. Thanks for being here. Today I'm going to present some of the results from my PhD that was done at Laval University with Jean Caron. My main focus will be a practical application of IDRIS to improve irrigation management for strawberry. So, okay, strawberry is a very important crop, a very high-value crop, and North America produces 25% of the world's production, so that's major. I present here the main production areas, so California, Mexico, Florida, and Quebec isn't there, even if we're a very small province with a very cold climate. We can still get good yields and produce good strawberries. So for all these regions, well, there's a common, not a problem, but a common fact that strawberries have shallow root systems, and well, they have high water requirements, and they're mostly drip irrigated under plastic mulches. I've seen a lot of them. So irrigation management is very crucial for these plants, and different regions have to cope with different problems. So in California, we think about water scarcity. In Quebec, one of our main problems is highly permeable soils. So I mean with hydraulic conductivities around 200 centimeters per hour. So that's really fast for drip irrigation. So in the last 5 years, through a big research project in California and in Quebec, we tried to find the optimal irrigation thresholds for strawberries. So, well, this is just some sort of a summary of our results. In two types of soils, sandy soils and clay soils in California, we could definitely find good threshold to initiate irrigation that led to good yield increases and an improved water use efficiency. So that's what you see there with the green and blue curves. But with our soils from Quebec, the results were, well, not as conclusive. So it was hard to find the effect of the irrigation thresholds. So we investigated a little deeper, and we tried to use different water application techniques. So in this example, we just compared standard irrigation, which is irrigation triggered at a specific threshold, just one irrigation for a specified duration. And we compared it to pulsed irrigation, so we still use the same threshold for irrigation initiation, but we split the irrigation events in two shorter events, separated by 2 to 3 hours. So with these experiments, we've had pretty good results, so yield increases up to 22% and good increases in water use efficiency up to 36%. And it was replicated over a couple of seasons, well, except for the last season, but there was a verticillium wilt problem that affected all the results, so that's not really due to irrigation management. Even though we've had good results with these, we don't exactly know why it happens like that. So is it a better lateral water distribution, reduced leaching, better fertilizer use? So we still have some questions, that's what we're going to try to answer with this presentation. And we wanted to know as well if we could further improve the system. So the main objective was to use IDRIS to try to figure out in less than 5 years if we could still improve the irrigation practices. So more specifically, we first tried to, well, see if IDRIS could predict the observation we had in the field, then do a sensitivity analysis on the effect of different parameters, either from the system design to management parameters, and see how it affects, well, uptake, leaching, and the applied water. And finally, well, with all the previous results, try to find optimal irrigation strategies for the highly permeable soils in Quebec. So, a lot of data was acquired from a large-scale field experiment conducted in Quebec. So I'm going to be brief about this, but we had lots of locations with soil moisture, soil tension sensors. We measured all the soil properties that we could imagine. We add all the system parameters, the irrigation system. We measured some plant-related parameters. So during a whole year, we measured everything that we would need to do some to use as model inputs. Then I used IDRIS in 2D to generate, like, to reproduce the standard irrigation growing bed for the strawberries. So I could include the fact that we had not two materials, but a hard layer on the bottom of our beds. What you see with the circle, it's the root density distribution that we observed. The X marks the place where we normally put our tensimeter for irrigation management. We see the drip tape in purple, and the other marks are just observation points that will be used further for model predictions. So everything that we saw in the field we could include in that model. And after that I fitted the Dörner model parameters with a combination of PEST, IDRIS and R. The reason is that I did not only want to optimize like the tension prediction and compare them to observations, but I also wanted the fitted soil properties to remain within the range that was observed in the field, because with about 24, 25 soil samples, we had quite a variability in these soil properties. So my objective function included these two parameters. And for calibration and validation, I use time series of 3 to 5 days, because in Quebec, that's the kind of time lapse that we have normally between rain events, and with a plastic mulch, these rain events kind of reset all the conditions, and they're kind of hard to include in the model. So here are the results for just the model calibration and validation. So the first, the top graph is the model calibration, so pretty good agreement. And then the other two are the validations, so only direct calculations. So the agreement is a little bit, it's not as good as in calibration, but still pretty good considering the rapid changes in the soil water potential that we can see in strawberry production. So seeing that, we were confident that the model could be used in a predictive mode. Also, the fitted soil parameters, they, as expected, because it was included in the objective function, they remained within the observed range. All that calibration and validation process, it was done on multiple locations, but multiple locations within the same field, but there was no real significant difference between the soil parameters that led to the better results. So from now on, I'll just stick with these parameters that were kind of representative of what we saw in that field. So the next step was to use SenSan, IDRIS, and R as well to conduct a global sensitivity analysis. So basically, I just generated a file with all the permutations of ETP levels, irrigation thresholds, emitter discharge rate, irrigation duration. I checked a couple of other things, but I won't talk about them today. And then the output that I was interested in were the root uptake efficiency, the applied water to ATC ratio, and the leaching fraction. So quickly, I'll get to the results obtained with that. So this is the relative sensitivity that I obtained. We see that, irrigation threshold, if we only look at root water efficiency, it's very good. It's almost the only influential parameter. But as soon as we start to look at, the applied water or the leaching fraction, then it's the emitter discharge rate, which is Q, and the irrigation duration that start to play a major role. And all the other interactions between the parameters, they were not really that significant, so I won't be talking about these. Not only did the sensan and iDRIS combination allow to do that sensitivity analysis, but it generated a large database from which I could select optimal scenarios for management in the specific condition that I saw where the experiment were ran. So it would be a very large data set and hard to explain, so I just selected a couple of scenarios to show like what the model output can look like. So scenario A would be a conventional tension-based irrigation management for strawberries, so a threshold of 15 kPa and 40-minute irrigation. That's kind of the common practice where we ran the experiments. With scenario B, it would be a pulsed irrigation still based on soil water potential, so a lower threshold, only 7.5 and 20 minutes irrigation. For scenario C, it was still pulsed irrigation, but this time not based on soil tension, only based on a schedule, so two irrigation, one in the morning, one in the afternoon. And scenario D, we just put three short irrigations every day. And then I ran a couple of, the simulation lasted 5 days, so I'll see what it, here are the results. So in black, we have the potential root uptake. In red, it's the actual root uptake predicted by the model. The vertical lines are the irrigation events. And I've added a couple of, global outputs from the predictions. So we can see that the standard irrigation procedure led to pretty low irrigation uptake efficiency and very high leaching fraction. But as soon as we start to use pulsed irrigation, we increase the efficiency quite significantly and we reduce the leaching fraction. So that's pretty consistent with what we saw in the field experiments. But still, on a couple of days, especially the second and third days, we can see that somewhere midday after the first irrigation, the uptake efficiency is lower. Scenario C is the case where we had only an irrigation in the morning and the other one at the end of the day. So with regards to efficiency, applied water, it's pretty much the same. But we can see from the graph that the uptake efficiency was much more uniform during the day. We didn't investigate that, but it would be good to find out the physiological effects that it can have on plants, either a more uniform uptake or some stress moments midday. So that's something we'd have to look after. And finally, we saw that three irrigations per day, it didn't change anything. We just added a little more water, so we won't talk that much about that scenario anymore. And the model outputs were also used to calculate the water efficiency, but locally from the water potential prediction at different location in the domain. So what you see here is red is a very high efficiency, blue is not as good. What we see here is that by going from conventional to pulsed irrigation, we did not, as we expected, extend the lateral distribution of water. Instead, we increased the uptake efficiency under the dripper. So that's where all the gains come from, mostly with that method. And this is explained by the fact that in the first or second hour following irrigation events, we have a considerable drop in water uptake right underneath the dripper, so mostly due to anoxic conditions. Of course, this is a simulation result, and it's strongly influenced by the FEDES model parameters that are used as inputs. But these parameters were obtained from field and greenhouse experiments, so we're pretty much confident that they're... So that leads to my conclusions that the model could adequately predict the water potential. If we only look at the uptake efficiency, using a tension-based irrigation threshold was good, but if we want to improve water conservation, like the applied water and reduce leaching, then we have really to look at the discharge rate and the irrigation duration. So in these highly permeable soils, the timing of irrigation is crucial, so midday irrigations must be avoided because they cause temporarily anoxic conditions. And well, this kind of approach, since it allows to see the effect on either uptake, applied water, and leaching, well, they could be adapted to other conditions and help to establish scenarios. Of course, we have to verify everything in the field, but still it's a start and it should give us good good hints when doing new experiments. So that's all. If you have any question, I'll be open.
We have time for one question. Yep.
So the model showed high sensitivity to the irrigation threshold, and also the experiment in California. While in Quebec, there was no sensitivity to the threshold.
Yeah.
So I wonder if it's the rain that you have there, or maybe it was the potential evapotranspiration in Quebec that it's lower.
Yeah, well, it's a question of wetting pattern as well, because in Quebec, when we apply the water, it stays under the dripper and it doesn't go far. So rain kind of, when it rains, all the bed is wetted, so it kind of resets conditions. So it's in the root zone, maybe 15 centimeter deep and about 3 to 4 inches from the drip line. So that's something I checked, also the position of the sensor, but that didn't give satisfying results. But yeah, the fact that we didn't see anything in Quebec at first was, well, our first experiments, we ran too dry anyway, and we had two very rainy seasons, so it's that's why. Maybe if we try it again, it could lead to that.